and like it's blowing up on him?
Look
at the names on this.
I did not look at the retweets or the quotes of it to see what the response was, honestly. I was just like, you're not making any point. Like, I don't even know what point you think you're making here. That was one of the biggest outcomes. It's just like, I think he's trying to say they could have used one of those guys or one of those people in that spot. And I just don't see a woman filling in for in the Blood and Guts match. If they have all women's Blood and Guts match, sure, you know, have at it. I wouldn't be completely surprised if they decide to do something like that. But I wouldn't think that they'd include any of them, pregnant or otherwise, in that match. And unless there isn't, they'd at least need to have an equal, you know what I mean? And we know that that wasn't going to happen with the Blackpool Combat Club.
Okay, yeah. Well, you know, he's being serious. Okay. Wow. I mean, there's a real big level of idiocy to this. And this guy also, I mean, whoops. Damn it. Come on, Twitter. Fuck. Piece of shit.
Oh.
This thing sucks. I mean, it's just terrible. But anyways.
Yeah, it has not gotten better.
Well, I mean, his whole tagline is calling out hypocrites, tribalist fans, and wrestling journalists in quotes.
Oh, Jesus.
Since 2021, not a Dave Meltzer puppet. I mean, shouldn't that just show you everything, like, tell you everything you need to know? I mean, that's not like a defense of Dave Meltzer, but of, like, wrestling journalists. Like, that sort of bullshit, like, okay, and then you give us, unless this, again, is like a Bruce Mitchell thing where he's doing this on purpose and we're all falling for it.
Oh, that's why I was not about to discuss the person in question, honestly, during the podcast.
I wasn't sure if you were recording or not.
It's some juncture I hit record there just because it's just like, it's about wrestling. We may as well
get this show rolling. This is absurd.
None of these guys, if we just kind of take the women out of the equation, just for the reasons already stated here, even the guys on the list, just like, I suppose you could fit maybe Colt Cabana in there, but
what purpose does he serve? Like that, that's another thing that's missing on this list. Sorry to cut you off, but
that's
like,
fine.
No one fits a purpose on here. Brandon Cutler, it's dead serious, is the only guy that would actually make sense because he hangs out with him.
Oh, yep.
But
or Michael Nakazawa, if we're going with that logic.
Who's Cole Carter? Do I not? Do you know who that is?
Who?
Cole Carter?
No, don't remember who that is.
All right, now Boulder and Bronson, that's Bear Country, I believe.
Yes.
But I think one of them retired, and the other guy's gone singles. Or they've split up, at least, and they both lost a lot of weight. So you can't really call them bears anymore.
I'm sure their bodies are thanking them for it, but they've put themselves in a weird spot considering they gimmicked themselves as big guys.
Yeah, now Lance Archer's on this. I will agree with that one. Not to say, you know, he would have fit maybe as like. Okay, I guess I should change something because Pac is on this. But Lance Archer could have fit the bill for the Blackpool Combat Club just because of the issue between him and Moxley.
Yes. Yep.
Mark Davis? Why does that sound familiar? Mark Davis.
Oh, that's another one I'm not really remembering.
Yeah, Mark Quinn is hurt.
Oh my gosh, and I'm about in tears. I didn't realize that they had listed. I didn't pay that good attention that they mentioned Satnam Singh. Come on, man.
Okay, well, see, here's a real... All right. In defense of this list, and I don't know if this was before that, these are the jobbers, dude. I mean, well, Ortiz and Santana. Santana's hurt. I'm really not sure what happened to Ortiz. He was with Eddie Kingston for a while. And it was Kingston.
Yeah, I mean, March 1st is not that long ago to have been used. But it's, you know, still not a good sign if you haven't been on TV for a solid but 3 months. White,
didn't he have both his hips and knees or something replaced? Like, those days are gone.
I felt like when he first signed with them, he kind of made some type of hint. Like, oh, I might at least do a run here. So, you know, to kind of scratch that itch. Yeah. I think we are past that stage. Like, injuries or otherwise, like, I just feel like at this point, it's like, come on, Big Show. What do you have to prove?
Yeah. And then, like, Sean Dean. Yeah, he hasn't been around for a while. But I think a lot of these names are part of Cody Rhodes' like, nightmare factory. Or they came from him. Sean Dean, I think, was one of them. Back up.
Yeah, I mean, there is not a lot of people on here that I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, if they did not renew their contracts, like, I guess I would not be surprised.
Yeah. But, I mean, also, it's like some of these are just jobbers.
Yes.
Until they do something else with them. So it's like...
Yeah,
these are supposed to be replaced. Like, I'm guessing the implication is that they brought in Kota Ibushi, and they didn't use anybody on this list, or that all these wrestlers have not been used for this long, and they brought somebody else in. And it's like, well, shouldn't your argument be more so that they're using people that aren't over instead of using these people? Or instead of, you brought Kota Ibushi, and he's clearly over with that crowd, where you've got Jeff Jarrett and Sanjay Dutt and Thotnam Singh on TV, and Jay Lethal, for that matter, who aren't over as well, but they're on TV still, and that's okay. Like, one, I'm proud of myself for getting that out of the way now, and two, it's true. Like, there's just certain things, certain people that aren't working, so yeah. I did think, like, Chris and I talked about it Tuesday about, well, who can they bring in for this match? And he goes, it's got to be Kota Ibushi, right? And yeah, it seemed like that was what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So it's not much of a surprise.
The rumors had been out there. It seemed like there was at least a flirtation with the WWE for some time. And then the whole Vince McMahon is at least shadow controlling things pop back up, and it just seemed like at that point it was a done deal, and just a matter of when Ibushi felt like making that jump.
Yeah, and it'd be obviously with welcome with open arms, because, you know, his friends are there, or his one big friend. So, you know,
yeah.
It's like, okay, that. Of all the signings, like, it makes sense. So, I don't really have a problem with it. Now, I had a problem with the presentation of it, of course, but...
It was kind of strange that one person makes a live appearance and the other person is just like, here's the video package.
Okay, well, you know, I actually don't mind that. If... The video package is done, not when the face has his neck and head in a chair and they're about to stomp him out so he can't make blood and guts. And then he starts talking and they all go, what? Let him talk. Like, why? look at the video board. Look at the video board. Like, no, stomp him. It's that sort of idiocy. Now, at least him getting away from stuff can be explained when, like, you know, like the lights went out.
Right. It just seems like a generally bad idea, since the Young Bucks and Adam Page were pretty hasty with their save there after the lights went out. It's like,
yeah.
This seems like a terrible idea. Like, you knew that you were outnumbered kind of going into this. Yeah. Why did anyone think this was a good idea to let you get beat up this much?
Yeah. Yeah, like, that's your plan?
Like, yes. I know that it's a wrestling trope that's been done over and over again, but it's stupid every time.
Yeah, but it's like, just imagine that meeting. All right, here's my idea. I know I'm going to get attacked. Let them attack me. They're going to give me the mystery guy. I'll try and beat him up. If that doesn't happen, everyone else is going to beat me up. Let it happen. And then, right when I think they're going to ruin and end my career, we're going to go to the video board. And everyone sits around going, yeah, that's a great idea, man. Okay. All right, and then we'll be out right after. Well, yeah, then come and save me, even though I've already escaped from harm, you know?
And I could have just run away from the ring.
Yeah. And then Brandon Cutler, who's not there, goes, hey, how about we just, you know, walk out and go, well, here's our partner. And then the video thing plays, and they get really upset. You know, that's how the show ends. And then you've built up, you know,
the showdown,
the excitement for next week to see Kota Ibushi live on TV. You know, we could do that. Oh, I think we're gonna go with our plan. I'm gonna get beat up a little bit, and you know that
Kinoshiki Takeshita.
Yeah, sure, he's in there too. But I'm gonna put a clear. I'm gonna pull a Diamond Dallas Page, and I'm gonna clearly mark what hurts me. So everyone can just attack my shoulder. So I'll be weaker for next week, but it's really going to pay off when I get to squeak out a few words before they crush my neck. So just real quick, this is Brandon again. What if they do crush your neck and we never get the video package? That's not going to happen. Don't you worry about it, bucko. In fact, you just stay back here and don't help at all. You too, Nakazawa.
Even though you would give us the numbers game, why would we do this to ourselves?
Fleeting numbers game, of course, but...
Brandon Cutler and Michael Nakazawa maybe count as one person total.
Yeah. They've been around since the They've been around since the beginning of AEW as well, which is even crazier. Wasn't he the Turkish oil wrestler? So always had the baby oil, right? Nakazawa always had the baby oil.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, so that's how we would get out of things. He'd squirt oil on his body so he could just slide out from people trying to get him.
I don't remember this.
I don't know how you don't remember this.
I don't want to remember this. I think that's why.
That was all during that garbage shit where, you know, Miro came back as a gamer.
Oh, Jesus.
All that stuff, which is hilarious to see now. So, and I love, since we're on AEW, I love Collision because they go, up next is Miro. Oh, cool. I'm just going to talk nonsensical for 37 seconds. All right, let's head back to the ring. Like, wait. It's still not wrestling?
He just keeps on talking to his not gone and his hot wife.
Okay.
I mean,
the week before he didn't want the wife anymore, and this week he's talking about how she can like bend in half and stuff. She double jointed.
He can't seem to make up his mind on which lane he wants to be in with the wife.
All right, I just want to make sure I got that correct.
Yeah, you did. It's a little bit strange what was going on there.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to pull away from AEW yet, but did you see, you saw Collision, the tag team match?
Yes. Yeah.
Never mind, this doesn't count. That was last week. So I forgot Saturday's the previous week. Because I was going to say that was the best match of the week until Dragunov and Braun Breaker, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So, that was good.
Well, this was actually the last 2 weeks since you were out for the Thursday show last week, I believe. So, talked to AEW with Chris, and I've actually liked the last 2 weeks of Rampage.
We were just talking about how we didn't even remember it, which is funny.
Well, and that's the good thing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not ready to kind of bitch up and down about it right now.
The only thing I remember from the show was the opening match of the Elite losing to the Dark Order.
You're talking about, Collision?
No, that was Rampage. Yeah, that started off Rampage.
Oh, you're talking Ramp. Oh, good God.
That's what you said.
Shit. I was saying the wrong thing then.
You meant Collision?
I like Dynamite.
Everybody, Stunk Radio Audio 869?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I like Dynamite this week. I didn't say Collision or Rampage.
Okay. I thought this week was boring as hell.
Listen, I like the... I think that the Adam Cole and MJF stuff is kind of fun.
Okay. It would be fun for me if it wasn't a main event program. If these were two guys going after the international title, or two guys for the TNT title, right?
Yeah.
But this is the World Heavyweight Champion really doing the same thing. Him and Sammy, you know, getting along. Him and CM Punk doing the stuff. It's like, It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, now it'll be great if Adam Cole turns on him instead of MJF turning on him. Then I'll be like, oh, well, it's forgiven. That's pretty cool. Like, because he keeps saying, I've got it. Like, don't worry about it. He's like, he's a pretty cool guy. Like, trying to outdo him.
Right.
Like, his own chicanery. So.
I guess that's what I do like about it, too, is it does. I would hope that they don't give Sting that. Or don't give Adam Cole that Sting moment of being the idiot after all of this. Because, I mean, honestly, it's been the Adam Cole's track record not to be, you know, the dummy. And they seem to just go by the default, like, old ROH character, kind of, which really wasn't that much different from his NXT character, quite frankly. You know, it's kind of this cocky, arrogant heel or baby face, depending upon whether people decided to, well, they're not really booing him ever now. So, before that used to be a question. So, yeah, like, he's the type of person that shouldn't fall for it, but it still has the possibility of happening, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's like if, that's what I'm saying, Adam Cole's got to be one to turn on him.
Yeah.
Because if MJF turns on him, it just makes him look like a goddamn moron.
Yeah.
It's just like you said, the Sting Ric Flair thing. Like, yeah, of course this happens. But I guess that's my problem. Is like it's sort of a rerun, and yeah. It's also like you're the heavyweight champion. You know, like you're the company's champion. So like, I expect a bigger program, but I guess they're just dragging this out too. So, you know, you gotta get, I guess, to Wembley. Is that where this is gonna culminate finally? I don't know.
That's still a really odd setup with two pay-per-views and back-to-back weeks.
Okay, so All Out is actually a pay-per-view. It's not on TV.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. They're only giving it a TV treatment? I guess I didn't realize they were only giving it the TV treatment.
You know what? I don't know, actually. That was kind of a question, too. You know, I don't know.
Is Wembley TV and...
No, that is pay-per-view. Almost positive. Oh, no. All In is August 27th. So that's first. So All Out is next. Trying to see. I guess it's a pay-per-view. It doesn't say. I'm going to guess it is. So then let's look up All Out 2023.
Yeah. So that is I guess.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's on TV. August 30th.
Oh, okay. Well then, yeah, you don't need to plan as much. I guess you go Wembley then. You know,
yeah,
like
August 30th is a Thursday, Wednesday, yeah.
And they're just gonna assume that whatever, it's Chicago. We come here like every third week. It'll be hot.
Yeah, sorry. It is a pay-per-view. It's a Saturday. My bad.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that is still, yeah, back-to-back weeks with pay-per-views that's a choice that was made. There have been some questionable ones from the WWE in years past. I'm not quite sure I've ever seen them that close together.
It's just funny for me because we were just talking about this with Chris, and All Out is the same day as Payback.
And I forgot about that.
Yeah, we were talking about that and how like Chris is happy all the like hardcore dorks are gonna be in Chicago instead of going to Pittsburgh, and I was like, yeah, that'll be nice. So get an actual show, hopefully.
I'm not counting on seeing the Tribal Chief, but other than that, my expectations are pretty solid.
Yeah, I mean, regardless, it'll be a good show. Like Chris floated the idea of Cody and Gunther. And I was like, don't do that to me. You guys are going to be picking me off the ground if we're there for that. But no, like, hey, I don't know. I'm ready for Orange Cassidy to get back into defending the international title.
I was not bummed that him and Darby Allin lost this week.
No, I wasn't.
I'm like, okay, good. Because I kind of had a similar thought run through my head. Like let's get back to Orange defending the championship.
Yeah, and I want to see Amber Alert. Yep. Jesus Christ! Sorry. I guess it would break through my sound. Yeah, broke through my sound. Okay.
Yep.
Jesus Christ. That just totally distracted me.
Amber Alert just completely wrecks your concentration.
Yeah, it's like, hey, in Rock Hill, I'm at home, man. Like, anyways. But, yeah, that totally derailed me, motherfuckers. But
back-to-back weeks of pay-per-views and Payback being the same weekend as All Out.
Yeah, and then I'm going, once I get back Sunday, I'm going to Raw here in Charlotte. Monday. Because someone wasn't paying attention on the Ticketmaster app and bought tickets for Monday Night Raw. It said, thank you for your purchase. And I was like, I'm sorry, I don't remember hitting purchase. I wanted to see how much it was with taxes and everything. And it just said, nah, you're going to buy them. So, so Monday Night Raw. I mean, Raw's a commitment. It's a 3-hour TV show, you know. So, I'm sorry. If you want to hear the whole story, listen to Stunt Grand Audio 686 or whatever it was. So, but yeah, no, I'm ready for Darby to be back in singles action. I'm ready for Orange Cassidy as well. I'm ready to see what happens with Daniel Garcia and Sammy Guevara. Like, are we finally going to get a feud between those two? That's just what it seems like should be happening.
It's either they need to go with the feud or they really need to run with them as tag champs. Because it's still weird that FTR, they've had TV time, but I still I just still don't get a good vibe from them. Or that they really have a lot of faith in them for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, they banished them to Collision. Like, whatever you feel of that show, it's not the main show. And, I mean, unfortunately, they've shown by ratings, people aren't exactly flocking to it. I don't know what DVR numbers are or anything like that, but, you know, it does not have the same ratings as Dynamite. I think it does better than Rampage, though, so there's that. But yeah, it's like relegating your tag team, to the Saturday show where no one's going to see it. Well, actually, both tag team champions are relegated to that show.
Oh,
that's where House of Black is as well.
Yes. Yeah. Saturday nights is for tag team and three-man action. Because
yeah.
that was one that I did tweet about it, that I was almost in tears. Well, actually, Tony Khan didn't redeem himself this week, but he let Kevin Kelly and Nigel McGuinness complain for Lord only knows how long about whether Malakai Black was around or not during the Julia Hart match, and then immediately after it, they air a vignette with him in, and I'm just like, you just made these two look like fucking morons, man.
Yep.
Well, like, what are you doing here, sir?
Yeah, it's on the format sheet, you would think. I mean, they have the format of the show.
Yes, I would think that would also be there, too. Like, maybe look at your notes.
Yeah, like, who's talking to him in the headset, getting them like, hey, talk about this, talk about this, talk about this. Like, hey, I see it right here on the format sheet, so no. Like, you can yell at me later. So, but no, like, Dynamite, I don't know, what else was on the show?
Okay, one thing that I thought was kind of weird, just because Chris also talked about it, evidently there was some not-so-nice talk about young Mr. Nick Wayne, who made his debut against Swerve in the sort of main event slot.
Yeah, I've never seen Nick Wayne before. So I was like, okay. I know him and Swerve had great matches, apparently, with not Evolve, god damn it.
Defy, yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool. And it's like, I mean, they did a nice job of explaining who this kid was, like showing you why he's important, and then, you know, just kind of let him go out there and do his thing. I didn't think it was terrible.
Yeah, that's what I was just like. I saw a couple of keep on move-ins, and I'm just like, why? Like, I mean, okay, he's 18. Like, will he improve? Probably. He's 18.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they didn't make him sound like the second coming. They did a very good job of their vignettes of showing you, like, yeah, this kid's a third generation, right?
Yeah, third generation, yes.
You know, second from his dad, and, you know, he's been in the ring since he was a kid, or like a baby, he's been doing this, training Darby Allin. But they never made it sound like he's going to come in and dominate. They just said, here he comes, and he's something to watch. He's something to behold.
Yeah.
And it's like, and he goes and out and has a good match with Swerve, and he lost, which he should have.
Right.
And there you go. Like,
yeah, that's why I was just like, they kind of did this perfectly. Like, it was one of those ones where I kind of saw the sentiment on Twitter, and then I watched the match, and I'm like, I'm confused. Like, inoffensive would be the worst I would give that segment. You know what I mean? But I mean, I just thought it was okay. It was good. Maybe I'll go with that. Maybe I'll go with like three stars or something like that. Like, it served its purpose. It did what it was. It didn't. Like, I don't know how many times I've been annoyed that they've given the newcomer too much offense. And this is one of the few times in AEW that I'm like, okay, yeah, he got like pretty much the right level of offense. And Swerve still won in fairly short order.
Yeah, and as he, I mean, it's like in this AEW case, as he should. I mean, even in Defy, I think Swerve won most of the matches.
They said he was, it was 1-1.
Oh.
So this was the, they actually did make a point during the show to mention that it was a bit of a rubber match.
Oh, I missed that then.
Yeah.
I swear they fought other places, but I mean, whatever.
They did talk about Defy, so if they wrestled in other promotions, they may have been left out of these numbers. I am not. Okay. Well, yeah. I am not sure.
They've got their partnerships. But yeah, the one legitimate complaint they can use is the graphic for the match. There was a terrible picture of Nick Wayne. Just looks like some skinny pothead kid. And you're like, is this Generation K? Or, no. Is that what they were called in ROH? Remember them?
No.
Was it Generation K? Was it for ketamine or something?
I think so. I'm
was
not.
Like Jack Evans, Roderick Strong when he was fat. Like, or chubbier because he's not now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's been pretty lean and or ripped for about the last 10 years now.
Yeah. That's what he's one of those cases. Like, Roderick Strong is one of those cases of a man that got much more handsome as he got older. Like, he actually, grew into himself.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, those are just people like that. So.
Well, that's the other thing that I'm kind of interested in. And I'm like, I definitely feel like it's after the age of 18, you pack on weight. And it'll be interesting to see Nick Wayne grow into his body still.
Yeah. Well, especially with AEW's travel schedule. I'm guessing he's not going to be on every week.
Yeah, I would
getting
assume.
Getting him, around real nutrition, real weightlifting, that sort of stuff. Because he said he just graduated high school, right?
Yeah.
It was...
Right. I think they made a point of saying it was... Monday was his 18th birthday. So, I'm assuming legally had to wait until this Dynamite to have him actually on TV.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, this isn't, hopefully it's not an Action Andrade or Action Andretti sort of thing. Because he was just a jobber on the show. Wasn't he a jobber on Dynamite or was that Collision?
Collision, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know. We had all that hype about him, and he's been a jobber now.
Yeah, he's on that laundry list of Chris Jericho did not help this gentleman in the least bit.
Yeah, and he said that's what he wanted to do. All right, he just... It must not go his way, he loses interest. That's the only thing I can figure out. You know, Chris is like, well, this guy doesn't get it. Never mind, I was wrong. We'll just brush that away. So... But yeah, no, I don't, some people I think just want to be picky about stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. Like, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't make any sense. But then, they kind of tried to tie stuff around because Swerve came out and cost Darby Allin the match.
That was the only thing to me that was weird about the match. I'm like, why didn't Darby had just been screwed over by Swerve. Why wasn't he at ringside the whole time, knowing that Prince Nana was going to be down there the whole time?
Yeah. I guess easily explains, he doesn't want to steal Nick Wayne's moment. So, he goes out there, all eyes are going to be on Darby. Oh, is he going to try and get Swerve, all that sort of stuff?
Yeah.
A simple explanation. And then also, he could have been getting medical attention and then ran up, just a simple thing that the announcers could have told you.
Well, I mean, he came out with them on the ramp, but they could have clarified what the situation was.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's a non-offensive match. What are we doing? Let's nitpick the real stuff. Like, there are no real feuds in this damn company. So.
I guess that was the thing about this week's show. Like, it just kind of went by for me. Like, I wasn't completely flummoxed. And of course, maybe it's just because there's so many goddamn tournaments going on.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's only four. Or three. Or too many.
Yeah, three.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No, it's just... Like, Jericho inserting himself with Don Callis, and Jack Swagger not liking that, I don't know what to do anymore. It's just whole fullness. I'm like, these are all bad guys. What do we care? Like, is this lost on anybody else that we're seeing bad guys' hearts breaking because the main bad guy leader might join somebody? Like, what are we doing? That's why that storyline makes no sense to me. It does nothing for me.
No.
Unless, you know, Jericho's turning face again or something. I don't know. But, it doesn't work for me at all.
That's just the weirdest thing. It's just they've tried. Jericho does the heel thing, but also sing along. You know what I mean? It's just, he kind of falls into that classic, it drives me bananas that, like, the fans of a majority of fans of AEW don't get the concept of wrestling sometimes. It's just like, no, you're supposed to boo him.
Yeah, that's very fair.
You know, it's AEW just like, I get it, you like him, but boo him while you're there, because that's going to make the show more enjoyable. Like, you're kind of missing the fundamental concept here.
Yeah, but it's also like, we're so in, you know. And also, I mean, AEW's never shied away from it. Even when Jericho was a heel to begin with, they were still singing along with it.
Yeah. You
know, he's like kind of, well, no, I guess Shinsuke Nakamura's music would have been first for like the sing along, right? I guess Sandman's Inner Sandman, but that's kind of unfair, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's just kind of a different thing, too, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. But no, it's like, there's also the creeds that you paid your money, so you can do what you want at the show, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Like, within reach, of course, but yeah. It's like, whatever. So
yeah, I don't care, but I just think that it does not help the product at all. Because, yeah, it just kind of, sometimes it tamps down what's supposed to happen, you know? It just makes it feel awkward.
Yeah. Well, especially when Jericho plays it up. Like,
no.
Sometimes he does it in a cocky way, like, he's a bad guy, so I'm cocky. Oh, okay. Or he just gets out there, is like, yep, that's right. Sing my praises. Like go along with the crowd in a non cocky way. It's like, oh, I'm so appreciative of this. Like, okay, so
yeah,
but yeah, well, yeah. I mean, that was really all for Dynamite this week, though. That I remember. You had what's her name? Ruby Soho beat Blue Velvet.
Sky Blue.
I just saw Red Velvet's name. Yeah, Sky Blue. And her ever like her hungry ass. Jesus Christ, those things ate her tights. As that match went on, that thing turned into a slip thong. And I was like, God damn. Is this allowed? WWE's blurting out words. But this girl, I mean, more power to her, she doesn't care. I'm not complaining, mind you. But it's pretty weird.
Her assets were definitely accentuated by the end of that match.
Her ass was out. What are you talking about? There ain't no accentuation. Shit, I mean, watching AAA, they don't care.
Oh, no. So,
yeah, I'm guessing cultural difference, I guess. I don't know.
No,
but
they...
this is like something totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. There is definitely a cultural shift when you start watching that AAA stuff. I missed out last week. But I saw one of those weeks where they had the ladies on. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yes. That was what you're talking about, yeah. It's like, you know, it's risque for the women to have their ass cheeks hanging out. It's done for sex appeal, and I get it. This was something totally different level. So I.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah. So go on YouTube and just watch that one.
Yeah, I mean, we sat through Rikishi's ass out during the Attitude Era. So I like, this is like a makeup, I guess, you know. So. Thank you, Sky Blue, for making up for all those years of Rikishi's big fat ass out there.
Oh, man.
Yep.
So what, NXT time then?
Yeah, so that's actually the fresh show. I literally watched it like an hour ago.
Just still, the world of NXT continues to crack me the fuck up.
All right, let's just handle the Tony D stuff first.
Oh my god! I could talk about this for roughly 3 hours.
It was worse than I thought it was going to be. They have an interview with Tony D in prison, or jail, or wherever he is. I'm hearing some not-so-good things, and then... Did he call in during the match?
Yes. Yeah. He called collect, supposedly to evidently Vic's cell phone or something. They didn't completely make it clear whose cell phone he called into. But yeah, he forced his way on air during the match. The most ridiculous thing ever.
The whole thing. Every part of it. Like, Joe Coffey's yelling this is a business decision. And the big dramatic moment of the match just farts. I mean, Stacks yelling, I ain't no snitch. And then just to make sure the crowd doesn't react again, he says it again. And the crowd's just like... Okay. And then these two guys come out, don't even interfere in the match, and then just walk off. And then Joe Coffey and Wolfgang get booted from ringside. Then the match, and I'm like, what is going on? I thought Stax made a deal with those two guys to help him out. Or, you know, to keep make sure that, you know, that's not happening. But, they just showed up and stood there.
No.
What?
It showed the force of the family. I don't know.
I was lost. And boy, they couldn't stop saying his full name, too.
Channing Stacks Lorenzo?
Yeah. Like, why? It's Stacks. You've been calling him Stacks for weeks.
Now, months all of a sudden, at this
you're
point.
A full name? Yeah. Okay. I was flabbergasted. Like, it was even pushing the limits for me this week. Like, what?
The call-in stuff and then the video interview and the call-in had me rolling. How that thing ended was just, it was a mess. Like, I don't understand why it just wasn't like he wanted to be loyal to the Don, and that's why, like, I mean, that's one of those, the simplest explanation is the easiest one here. Like, just have him turn on the decision, you know? It shouldn't be that hard.
Yeah, but the thing is, if they had some business deal, which is why Joe Coffey took the match, right? That's what we're supposed to believe. Then why doesn't Joe Coffey just not hold up his end of the bargain? So did they sign a contract to where he has to recant his story? Like, the whole thing's so dumb. I liked our turnout far better. Just putting other wrestlers on the stand so they'd have to talk about stuff. I thought that was a much better idea.
Oh, yes. Yeah, to actually go to trial and then to have him get off because of a crooked jury. Definitely the way to go.
Yeah. But, I mean, maybe we'll still get there. Maybe Joe will say, I'm not doing this. But, I don't know.
I'm going to assume that part is in doubt. It would seem like the return of one Mr. Tony D'Angelo is sooner rather than later now.
Yeah, and is he going to come back with the same beard, or is he going to shave it down? Because I'm guessing he grew it in prison to, like, show that he's been in there a long time. Like, the story?
He's getting tough. He's getting tough in prison like Dom.
Okay, to shift real quick, that was not Dominic's best acting performance. He's been way better. That interaction with him and Wesley, that, I mean, it just seemed like he's just awkwardly reading something. Like, what's going on here?
That was not, that I agree with you. That was not his best work there. It almost seemed like he didn't know what to do without, like, one of the biggest stars in the company next to him. He's just like, what? You're just an up and coming star? What is this bullshit? I don't care if you've wrestled like 12 times or 12 years longer than me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, no, that, it, unless that was like on purpose, but yeah, Dom just, he didn't come off as, like, was he going for like the fake tough guy thing? Because, you know, he got mommy there and all that stuff, and it just, something didn't work. And I was like, well, that was kind of disappointing, but.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he's always, to me, he's always doing the fake tough guy thing.
But he's done it better than he did this
time. Oh, yeah.
Like, and even like when he was like scared, when he was going to jail that first time, those acting chops were on pretty good there. So, but, yeah, whatever. The main event was good. I mean, and I was glad Judgment Day won. I was afraid that we're going to try and further along this weird pseudo feud between Damian Priest and Finn Balor.
Oh. But yeah, it seems like they've kind of put that one to rest for the time being, at least here.
I hope so. I like, we were discussing like badass groups, and it's like them and, well, what should have been Imperium. There's them and, oh, crap. I lost it. Bloodline.
Well, oh, yeah. Yep, they're having some issues currently.
Yeah, some pretty good ones, too, for the ratings and money. Jesus Christ. So, but, yeah, I liked the match. It was nothing, you know, nothing special, I guess. I don't know. It was there.
Yeah, that tag match. Yeah, that was just kind of there, just so that no one had to have a singles match.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll save Ilya and Braun for later, but we got to go back to the absurd stuff. What was that Gigi Dolin, Kiana James thing? Showing like old Instagram photos of Kiana James, like. People don't grow up. This whole thing doesn't make any sense. Oh, look at you partying way back then. Yeah, it was like 5 years ago, man. I've grown out of that. It's the easiest thing to explain. Unless they're trying to make them partners, which would be hilarious.
Oh, that would be interesting and somewhat awkward. It could work, I suppose.
I just don't know where it's going. And it's like, she didn't, like, what were we supposed to get out of those pictures? That she's not this demure lady that she tries to portray herself to be? But.
Oh. Like,
she's a business lady now.
Yeah, well, and so, what's her, Kiana James almost kind of admitted to it in a way, too. Which was kind of weird. So it's just like, oh, yeah, that happened. It's just like, oh, okay.
Which isn't, but, okay, isn't that how you should react? Which automatically nullifies this feud. Oh, yeah, that was me. I'm not that anymore. Yes, you are. No, I'm really not. I got an education, and I own a business and stuff now.
Yeah, so like, cool. People can change. Like, I get it. Yeah. That you know a lot of people that haven't changed at all and are still a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, like, cool. But yeah, you're allowed to change. Moving along here.
Yeah, it's like, what is she trying to do? Drag it out of her? Like, that's like, It's the worst. Like, what's AA have?
Well, GG Dolan is just a weird. That's just a weird babyface character to me.
Very true. Yeah.
You know, like, again, like, I think I mentioned it before. Like, her gimmick is almost always more of a "this is my villain story" gimmick. You know what I mean? You know
what? Yeah, yeah. It's like you could always take those negatives in the people's lives and see how they could turn out bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, oh, well, my wife beat, or, you know, my mother was a crack whore. And it's just like, that's why I like to beat people up now. And it's just like, oh, okay. Yep, that checks out. Like, I got it. Yeah. And that's, it's like, no, this is fueling me as a good person. It's just like, is it? Just because, like, it's still awkward where the JC Jane feud left off. Like, I don't feel like anyone won or lost that thing.
No, not at all. and like, the less we remember that, the better, because those matches weren't good. So,
okay. Yeah, well, and they forced at least that last one was like, I thought we had finished this when GG won the second matchup. Like, we don't need to have a rubber match for everything. Or you can bring it up in a later feud.
Well, no, GG won the first one. JC Jane won the second.
Oh.
Yeah.
But then they had an awkward pause, though.
Yes.
I guess that's why I was thinking that GG won the second one, but
yeah, there's been a lot of those weird pregnant pauses with stuff. Like, okay, that's kind of strange, but yeah, but that feud was so dead anyways. Like, the talking was good, but the in-ring action, that first match wasn't good. Like, we're going to do it again. No, let's not do it again. And we're going to do it a third time. No, that's all right. Like, we're going to add weapons. No, there's only one person in NXT. I'm proud of myself for this. Who's allowed to carry weapons? And that's Cora Jade. I almost used a line I used off air, but I won't.
Oh.
Dude, I don't understand how you give someone the gimmick of being the bad girl with her black kendo stick. Or Singapore cane, whatever we're calling them.
Yeah.
And they don't know how to swing it. They don't know how to swing it to even, like, fake that they're going to hit someone. Like, it's like the old silent movies. That's how she moves. When she's trying to, like, hunt somebody down with it. And it, maybe it's heavy because Dana Brooke did the same thing. And it's like, all right, you guys, if you can't get your timing down, stop using this stuff. Because it makes everybody look foolish.
Like,
if you were coming at me with a cane, you're not missing. You know, regardless of the sizes.
Oh.
You're not missing me.
Yeah, A, they're very long. B, your entire body is kind of a large. Anyone's entire body is kind of a large target. And it. Yeah, it's kind of irrelevant. Like, unless you're really trying to split someone's wig and go for a headshot, maybe you miss then. But even then, like, shouldn't you at least hit a shoulder if you miss the head?
Hell, hit him in the back of the leg. I mean, hit like the ankle. That hurt like hell, you know? Just anything. But this is, like, which is... Could be something else too, I suppose. But
yeah, yeah. That
yeah, yeah.
Sounds and, like fantasy land for a lot of people.
I see Cora Jade carrying around that stick. But anyways, zing. it's just embarrassing to do that to them. Like, I know they should improve, but until they do, that should not be on TV. And it does not do them any favors. Like,
yeah. Well, I guess the weird thing is that she does everything fairly well, honestly.
Yeah, she's fine.
Which is one of those things, just like, yeah, I don't know why you're not coordinated with a kendo stick.
It's like, does raising something above your head just confuse the hell out of you?
Well,
or over your shoulder, I should say.
Part of it, because didn't the referee pull that away from her?
I mean, maybe the second or third time, sure. But the first swings or so, you know. Oh, I mean, this is the first time she's treated it like it had a disease. So, it's like, have you ever watched a horror movie? Like, even they're more convincing. I mean, outside, like, you know, your bad ones. But it's just, yeah, I hate it. I think it does her a disservice. But in that, but also, like, kind of an AEW thing, the crowd's cheering for Cora Jade all of a sudden. And it's been going on a few weeks.
Oh, did not notice that.
Oh, yeah, there's a definite Let's Go Cora chant. And it's been there for her last couple matches. And it's like, why? I mean, not even being a dick about it. Why?
Yeah, everyone likes the bad girl. And, it's almost, I guess, it's weird what Dana Brooke is doing to fans.
Oh, talking about how she doesn't suck?
Well, no, not directly fans, like, on Twitter, like she was doing with fighting people. But, I feel like it's translated a little bit into what is actually happening on TV. You know what I mean?
And, well, like trying to show off?
Well, she's almost detracting away from the people that she's supposed to be pumping up. Because people are kind of going like, why the fuck are you still here?
Well, I mean, she is with that new girl, so there's a little bit of credence there.
I don't know why, if you're Kalani Jordan, that is your go-to is Dana Brooke.
Well, I mean, I guess, well, obviously they gave it to her. But also, it's like you're getting that Dana Brooke rub, which I don't, you know, I don't know what that, you know, does for you, so to speak.
Yeah, but well, that is my problem. Like, I don't. I got that. Evidently, they've kept her around for some reason or another, but it hasn't been to keep her on TV.
Right. I mean, yeah, and they always have those people. I mean, hell, Triple H brought back Emma. She's been on, what, twice?
More than that, but not by much. Yeah.
I would say this year, she was on TV the beginning of the year, right? Because they put her and her fiance,
together.
And then, where's he been? You know, and like, same with her.
Also, mostly MIA.
Yeah, so, you know, maybe we should create a list of MIA WWE guys, which I think that guy did, actually. But
I don't know whose place who was more deserving of the Money in the Bank ladder spot rather than Logan Paul. Let's give you the list of people that haven't been on TV for months and months and months.
Riddick Moss, I guess. It's fine, but no, I don't get the Dana Brooke thing. I don't get the hate on the lady. First off, okay, not everyone's amazing. I mean, there's a lot of people that were on your TV all the time. And, like, this, like, I wonder if, like, in the 80s, oh, God, the 90s would have been, like, early 90s with, like, Duke the Dumpster Drossy and Mantar, fresh on the mind since he passed away. But, like, you know, Bastion Booger, the Goon, all that stuff. I would have loved to see what Twitter would do then, or social media, just in general. You know? Yeah, that's what it just seems like. That's what the Dana Brooke thing is. It's like, oh, it's just time to pick on her. Like, well, just, you're right. They do keep her around for some reason.
Yeah, but I mean, I my point though is that it does seem to. I think that's part of the reason why Cora Jade's getting cheers.
Oh, I gotcha.
You know, and that's where that was all going for me.
Okay. Now I understand.
You know, like I do think that some of that online hate has transitioned into real hate.
Yeah,
And
that's
it's, I don't know if it's affected the storyline per se, but that would be one of my argument. Either that or, I mean, Cora Jade kind of has mostly won, and that's always a positive thing. And people
yeah,
will
because
cheer for you when you start winning.
oh yeah. Yeah, unless the wrestler's really good at their job and, you know, does whatever, but like making fun of the crowd's not it. You know, but it's just a cheap way of doing it, number one, anyways. You start making fun of the crowd now and everyone's like, yeah, they're making fun of us. Yeah, you're awesome. Like, okay. Another awkward thing is, so Baron Corbin apparently staying in NXT for a while. So the guy with all the citronella candles that you can buy at Lowe's, is that Joe Gacy, I'm guessing?
Huh?
Did you not see the end of that segment with Baron Corbin?
I must have missed it.
Yeah, Baron Corbin leaves his beautiful house and his big expensive car. He's driving around talking about how like all the iterations of him you've ever seen were not him. And he was always
Oh.
trying to portray someone he wasn't. And he's
Right.
driving. All of a sudden, at the end of it, he stops. There's like your basic, like off citronella steaks all over the place, and there's a guy in a sweatshirt that looks like it could be Joe Gacy.
I mean, I
I
guess
don't know.
those fools need something to move on to, and Baron Corbin will be a good foil. Maybe they'll try to
Well, they still have,
recruit Baron Corbin.
yeah. Well, they still have the Creeds to deal with, though. Because I
Huh?
mean, you figured out, you saw the end of that segment, right? With Ivy Nile. The two guys that stopped and stared at her at the end are very clear, the Creeds.
This is what
Just by.
happens when you mostly listen to a show.
Oh yeah. So after Joe Gacy takes off, right? Two of the, what did they call them? Like, I almost said druids, but they're not. Well, anyways, people with the
Oh.
masks. Yeah, they had a whole bunch of people in masks, and two of them, one's tall, one's short and square, and they both stop and look at Ivy Nile, and then start walking again. You're like, oh, it's very clear the Creed Brothers. So
Oh.
they're either gonna be brainwashed now, which would be hilariously stupid, or they're just infiltrating, you know. And they're gonna call it like at the right moment, they'll have Ivy versus Ava, and for the Creeds to come back, and then they'll turn on Ava or something, which is, seems,
Oh.
you know, simple.
Oof. Well, it'd be nice if Ivy Nile just kind of got the win, but hey, that's just me.
Okay, so she's a complex person for me. I liked her a lot better when she didn't talk, and she didn't show emotion. She was just a little badass. Because I thought she was rather unique back then. And now she was like moping before the match, and she's like the den mother for the Creeds and all this. And I'm like, I like little ass kicker scary Ivy Nile a lot better.
Yeah, they have definitely not given her the chance to be that
No, not at
because
all.
of the den mother status.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think this character does her any favors, but you know, it's obviously not our call. But yeah, I liked when she came out. She had the chains. I was like, who is this little monster woman? Like little woman too. And she comes out and kicks some ass. Like, oh, all right. And now I was like, oh, the crazy gone, huh? Okay.
Yeah, now she's just made to look like a fool. The Creeds barely ever listen to her, honestly.
Yeah, well,
Like,
that's what you get when you have
Julius, what are
one.
you doing here? And it's just like, I hear what you're saying, but I gotta do this. And it's just like, okay.
And she goes, okay.
And boys will be boys.
Nice enabler. Okay, I trust you. No. No, don't do that at all. So, but I'm wondering if this is also like, you know, they have a longer term story to get rid of the dyad. Or the, yeah, they're the dyad, right? It skips as a whole.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, everyone's expecting them to get cut because the people who watch the show know that they asked for their release. So in turn, they're like, let's turn this into a story. And then around the time your contract's up, that's when we'll get rid of you. Wasn't it like October, September, something like that?
I keep on thinking that it's earlier than it's supposed to be.
Yeah. So it's coming up. So you can have that match. Or, I mean, have the match all over again, I guess, if you want. With everyone's bar from ringside. In a cage or something. So, it just seems like it could be kind of like a swerve. Like, oh, that's why we did this. And now, all right, you guys can go. So...
Yeah, it kind of seems much ado about nothing.
Yeah, it really is. And maybe, I mean, just playing with the fans, I guess. So,
yeah, that's one where I'm like, yeah, you're being too cute here.
Yeah, I mean, why not bring just a different tag team to replace the Dyad? You know?
Oh. That. Yeah, there are multiple ways to address this situation. And I mean, they've shown that they have other followers, and just to have two people pop up and unmask or whatever and just introduce them and, hey, we got a new tag team and we're off and running.
Yeah. Or how about you get rid of this stupid-ass gimmick in general and we don't have to deal with it anymore. So there's always that.
Well, I am not that hopeful that that's going to happen. No.
I mean, I don't even mind just Joe Gacy and Ava being together. Call yourself Schism.
Oh. You know,
he goes after singles title, she goes after women's title. And we're done.
Yeah. But yeah, that'd be fine by me.
They like their large faction sizes, so. But. Yeah, the Chase U stuff was fine. Is that it until the main event? Well, to me, this is the main event, at least.
Yeah. I mean, this Dragon. If you wanted to save Breaker and Dragunov for last, I just kind of did a quick scan of things, and this really should be it.
Well, we had another. Like, Booker T was really grating this week, like in a bad way. Like, I'm not enjoying this at all. And then finally, Vic loses his cool with him. He goes, you know biscotti is a cracker, right? It's food. It's not a drink. He goes, I've told you this for weeks. And Booker T, you know, you just hear it. It's like, I've had enough. And Booker T goes, it'll be whatever I want it to be. And I'm like, that got a laugh out of me. I'm like, you can't win with that guy.
Well, there was another moment where I was just howling when Vic's like, well, at least you were nice enough to wear a shirt and a jacket this week.
And he was bagging on Chase U. He's like, you're even wearing red this week, Book. Yeah, that's right.
I about fell over laughing. Those guys have the weirdest chemistry. Oh, man. So wild what's going on with that announced duo.
I don't know who listens back to the play-by-play, right? And goes, oh, this is really good. Like, do they just ignore it and go, we got to keep Booker T shot. Booker T with us. He knows too much.
Booker T really is hanging that racism claim over our head until the end of time. So
true. I should be Triple H at WrestleMania. Like, yes, we know. It doesn't mean you have to be on commentary all the time. It's rude. But
you don't need to ruin everyone's Tuesday evening
or Thursday. But I was looking forward to Dragunov and Braun Breaker anyways because the styles clash.
Oh, yeah.
I was blown away by this, how good this was. And there was a point in that match, it was early, Dragunov chopped Breaker behind on the back, I believe, and then he chopped him in the chest, and Breaker jumps up and throws him down, and it looks like he's laying in punches. And I was like, uh-oh, he snapped. And Dragunov is like kind of like out of it for a second. And I don't know if it's just really good selling, or if, like, Braun, like, all right, got a little too aggressive.
Uh-huh.
You know, whenever they tell you to slow down. But, like, this whole match was just hard-hitting.
Oh.
I'm all for it. I'd love to see it again.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're two of the better wrestlers in NXT. You know, I guess I am not surprised that they ended up putting on a very good match.
I was surprised because it was a physical... Like, has Braun been in a physical match before? You know, like, he's been physical. But he actually had a guy that, you know, in Dragunov that's, you know, fairly aggressive. That's all his offense is. So, like, to go toe-to-toe with someone like that, I think that was new for him.
I agree with you. Like, most of his opponents have not been big, burly guys.
Like, I forget what happened with the Joe Gacy one. But he's probably the only guy his size he's fought. And Dragunov did not look like a midget or anything next to Braun Breaker, but he didn't look huge either. And it still wasn't a really convincing match.
He is and always will be vertically challenged.
He really does make up for it with that intensity.
Yeah, I mean...
He drove it into the ground, but good God.
Yeah, he kind of falls into that similar to... Well, I was going to say Darby Allin, but he also has, like, way more muscle than Darby Allin, too. But, like, he's like Darby Allin in and of the fact that he puts everything into every move.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, it's just like, because even, like, his finisher is like, hey, yeah, I'm just going to launch myself at you.
I love that finisher. Like, they allow punches now, right? So it's like, okay, all I'm going to do is just run across the ring and jump and forearm you in the chin and punch you in the face. Like... So simple, and you can use it at any time, which is always a good finisher.
Yes.
So, yeah, the only part of the match I didn't like is he hit one of his finishers, it didn't work, and Ilya just freaked out. And it was like, all right, just do it again. You know?
Oh. that's another wrestling trope that's never going to quite completely appeal to me.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like your fourth one... Like, if The Rock gives you four rock bottoms and it doesn't work, then you'd be like, okay, I'm in big trouble. Like,
yeah, that's the time for the shocked face. When you don't finish someone off with a move that you never finished anyone off with.
yes. What was the... I thought, you know, the crowd really thought so too. I thought it was over when he hit that spear on him.
Oh, yes.
That. I mean, I know he has hair, so he can make his head look like it whips back more than it does. But holy crap. That was impressive. I couldn't believe how good that looked. And that no one got killed. I mean, again, Braun's bigger than Ilya is. So, oof. Professionals, man.
Yeah, because, I mean, I guess now that I was thinking about it, just because he popped on TV, I'm like, Braun never really did an extended feud with Dijak, has he? I feel like they've had a few interactions.
No, yeah, you're right, no.
So, yeah, I don't think he's wrestled anyone big or physical, you know? I really do think that what's his name is that Dragunov is the first. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But I'm not surprised that I suppose that he could put on a good match like that.
I guess it's because it was the first time. That's why it was a surprise. And, you know. You know, he's got that Steiner blood in him, so it shouldn't come as a surprise. But yeah, I mean, it really suits him well for when he goes to the main roster. Which again, I'm guessing, like, they kind of continue Blair Davenport and Roxanne Perez, which is weird. But and oh. Creed's being, you know, behind the mask, so I guess not everyone's going to the main roster. But where does Braun go now? Like, he finally lost a legitimate, like, got his ass kicked. It was close, mind you, but he got beat. You know? Like, even the end of, like, Carmelo and him, it came in a flurry and it was over. Where this was just, they were just beating each other, and then finally Dragunov just beat him down. Which are usually Dragunov's matches anyways. So, which makes it so great.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, that guy has some quality wrestling matches with whomever he's in the ring with.
Yeah. And, well, you never saw him, but those matches with Gunther, man.
Oh.
So, and then they wanted Braun to stay down there and work on his heel character a little bit more. And I think it's a success. So.
Yeah, you know. Like they, if that's one where it just feels like there's. Hurdles keep on getting put in front of him, and he keeps on jumping over them with somewhat easy moves. And it's just like, okay, guys, like we're running out of. This is like one of those. It feels like you're keeping him down here for no good reason at this point.
Yeah, and it was funny. I had this thought. It won't ever go, but he could easily join up with Roman and Solo. And what I mean by that is the bloodline could just be anybody who wrestled in, who has like parents that were wrestlers.
Oh.
If they wanted to turn the corner on that. So it's not just, you know, so he's building a business family now instead of a real family, if you want to put it that way.
Yeah, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, I thought about that while I was watching that match because of, you know, the obvious Steiner connection.
No. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and we got the football connection too. So that helps out.
Yeah. Yeah, but like it's, you know, anybody who's had parents that were in wrestling. Oh, we forgot about the Von Wagner stuff. Forgot about that. Still kind of goofy, but
They're getting somewhere. They're giving him a character, so good on them. You know, like it's kind of taken a while and it feels like it's almost been overly, in some way it's not been overly complicated, but it just still seems to have kind of taken a while, I guess.
Yeah. I also do love the creative editing that WWE always does. He's like, you know, when I those people got behind me the other week and they're showing nothing but people freaking out. And I know they were pretty excited when he powerbombed that dude through the table, but
right.
I don't think they were going that crazy for it. So.
No. The crowd reaction wasn't that positive.
Well,
so
any crowd reaction he gets is positive, you know?
Yeah, so. Stone, you've gotten me somewhere finally. It's just like, yeah, this is what good managers do.
Yeah. The guy that's been around for 5 years, I think. Finally sticking with one person, by the way.
Oh, yeah, that helps him, too.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that's the week in wrestling, right?
You know, one thing that I just noticed before the recording the podcast here, the wife and I were watching a music station there, and they had Highway to the Danger Zone on, and I was shocked. I did not realize that they basically have a full summation of the Top Gun the movie within that video.
You mean the Danger Zone video?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I did not, like, if you had not seen the movie, like, they completely wreck it for you. Like, I know that that's an old thing, but the video came out the same time as the movie, and I'm just like, oh my god, you didn't need to go to the movie. Like, I didn't realize this. Like, I mean, they show Goose, they see Goose, you see Goose dying, You see him talking to the wife, Meg Ryan, and you even see them shooting down the MiGs at the end of the movie, and it's just like, oh my God! Like, there's a flyby in it. There's a buzz by the tower and a coffee spilling. There's Kelly McGillis love scenes in there. I'm like, oh my God, like this is the movie in a 3.5 minute movie clip, along with Kenny Loggins singing, really belting out Highway to the Danger Zone in bed for some reason.
I'm gonna have to go watch this video. It doesn't surprise me. I guess I'd want to know when the video came out. Like, how long was the movie out?
Both of them came out in May of the same year.
All right, so never mind that.
So yeah,
Wow.
because we were like, oh my God, like you seriously could spoil the movie with this thing. Like, what the fuck is going on with this video?
Well, it's funny you say that about music videos, because they do that in the previews. They do that in they just the movie studios do it in previews now. Like, how much cooler would The Flash would have been if you didn't know Michael Keaton was in it?
Oh.
And all of a sudden you're like, wait, that's not Ben Affleck. Or that you didn't know like a Supergirl was in it and you thought it was Superman the whole time. Or something like that, you know? They
Yeah.
gave away everything to try and get people to go see that movie, which backfired badly. That bombed hard. Which I thought was unfortunate because I liked it.
Yeah.
But it was like they do that in everything. Like, it's because so it's funny, like the Danger Zone video did it. At least you got music to go with it. This is just you're sitting there watching previews for a movie going, well, I know what happens here. I know what happened. Like, they finally toned down doing that stuff. But I just feel they get like that and commercials give away way too much. Like, even like that Shazam Fury of the Gods. I stayed away. I didn't want to know anything about it. And I'm watching AEW, and they show Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman's in it. And I'm like, well, thanks a lot. Like, I don't like. I'm not one of the people that wants to know. And like, well, no one's going to movies. Well, you guys give away every goddamn reason to go. Because it's certainly sure shit isn't quality. That's for sure. Christ. Ugh. It's
Well, and the turnaround's a little rough too, quite frankly. Like, it's one of those things that we're terrible about getting there opening weekend. And it's like, oh, okay, it's either opening weekend or you don't go to the movies. And it's just like, huh?
Yes,
Like,
exactly right. Yes.
I could use for your movie to be in the theaters a little bit longer. Like, I got it. Most people don't go there, but could you keep that maybe in the theaters another couple of weeks? And I would go because I do enjoy the theater experience. Like, I have a much nicer setup than I used to. Movie theater is still better.
Yes. And like I was trying to, because I haven't been happy in a movie. Oh, I enjoyed Flash, like I said. Before that, I can't remember the last. Oh, Guardians of the Galaxy 3 was good. But you're right, and like that's the bad business model they have. If it doesn't do good opening week, you're done. The only person who bucks that trend is Christopher Nolan. His movies always start slow, and then are in theaters for like 8 months. I don't know how he does it, but it's just all of his movies make money, and they're always in theaters forever. I swear to God, Batman: The Dark Knight was in theaters for over a year. That's what it seemed like, at least.
Well, that's it's almost weird how awkwardly long ago that was now, too.
Yeah, really. And there's just a sequel to it, and then Jared Leto. Now there's gonna be there's been a Joker movie, and now a sequel coming up. Plus, a new Joker's coming out, like, or another Joker will be used soon. So it's like,
No.
Jesus Christ. But yeah,
Yep.
no, yeah, it's like I want to go see Mission Impossible, but I want to see it in IMAX because it looks insane. But all the IMAX, the good seats in the IMAX around here are taken up. So I'm like, oh. God damn it.
Yeah, that might be one of the few good things about the father-in-law's birthday. Rumor is that we're going to go see that, so I'm actually going to go to theater to see that nice. One. Now,
I think he makes movies to make sure you go to the movies, so makes sense.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, because the Top Gun Maverick was awesome.
That movie was so stupid. I loved every second of it. Like the end's really dumb, but. You just excuse it because it was good. Like,
yeah.
It just was.
Yep. You can tell that they put money into that thing. That's one where you're like, I understand where the budget went on this one.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, where'd the budget go?
Well, it was funny because they always, like, Tom Cruise movies always have a director. And, like, you know who's running the show. He's the executive producer, and like one of the guys on Top Gun Maverick came in. He goes, "Yeah, Tom came in and fired like half of the staff. Like on his first day on set, he's like, no, I don't like this. Changed the script, did all this stuff, and it's like, I'm guessing he's gracious for doing that, like giving other people credit for stuff. But at the same time, it's like I know everyone pretty much knows you run the show." Like, even this Mission Impossible movie, did you hear, like, it was years ago, but, like, they were trying to film it, like, at the end, like, when COVID was coming out of the restrictions?
Uh-huh.
And him losing his shit on the crew?
Oh, no.
It's absolutely justified, too. And, like, during that time frame, you had, like, you know, everyone had to wear a mask, you had to do 6 feet, you had to do this, and I guess the crew wasn't doing it. And he lost his shit.
Oh.
And he goes... And he's like, "You guys better follow protocol. We're trying to make a movie when no one wants to be out here doing stuff." And I'm paraphrasing. And he goes, "I've told you so many times. If I catch you doing it again, you're off. You're fired. I don't care who you are. You are fired." He goes, "We're trying to keep an industry alive that brings blah 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 all this stuff." And he goes, "You guys don't." He goes, "No, don't. This is beyond apologies. I don't want you to talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. I want you to do what you're supposed to do. If you don't understand what I want, tell me now. You all understand? Good. Next one that gets online, you're fucking fired." And like someone was recording it. And I'm like, so am I supposed to like not take his side in this? You've got like a $200 million movie it's in danger because you can't keep your fucking mask on for a little bit. Like, the fuck is wrong with you? So, and then just to know the shit he did for this movie again, it's just insane. So,
oh, yeah, the legendary stunting is always something else.
Yeah, he didn't die, so that we know. Who knows what the Scientologists can do.
But,
I guess we should get out of here.
Yeah, bell time beer on your end, sir.
Nah, still on that. So,
okie dokie. I am bummed that Sideswipe Brewing, one of my favorite breweries here in Columbus, has decided to call it quits. So I am drinking a few of their beers that I have here at the house. For their last couple of weeks here in existence, because end of July, unfortunately, they will no longer be with us. Match Brew 20, hazy double IPA. It is extremely tasty. Their hazy IPAs are among the best. Or straight out the best, quite frankly. So, yeah, it's going to be a bummer. If you like any type of IPA, honestly, they make very good IPAs. And I even recall when they had just started, I believe it was not long before that you and your lovely wife got married. And I brought her down a bottle of Sideswipe Elegant Hoodlum way back in the day. So, yes, I have liked Sideswipe from a very early time period, and it will be a bummer to see them go. But In the meantime, I am going to enjoy many of their tasty beverages that I will almost assuredly stock up on in the next couple of weeks here. So that is the bell time beer of the show from at DeFrango11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.
Hey, gang.